What's up, guys? Jacob McCormick back here with the Clear Path NBA podcast presented by Vendetta Sports Media. I am once again joined by Nate Dorfman from Keep It To Yourself fame here on in Vendetta Sports Media. So welcome back, man. Glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jake.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Had the All-Star break and some uneventful weeks of NBA in there, but good to be back with some new storylines and some stuff that's going on. So, and all that. So we kind of wanted to, we were chatting a little bit offline, but something that's kind of been a storyline that we've chatted about this, I think, in an earlier podcast back when came out about his injury, but the Kawhi Leonard saga. But recently, kind of reports came out about his dissatisfaction with the way his the Spurs have handled his injury and his rehab and everything. And there was also comments from the team saying he was cleared to play medically, but he won't be playing for the rest of the season. So that always raises kind of, you know, concerns and, you know, question marks on why that's happening. Then it was came out that he was, Popovich said he's not playing the rest of the season. And then this most recently was the conversation about Jordan Brand and how he, is dissatisfied with the amount of money he's being paid by Jordan and wants to be a more marketed athlete and have a bigger contract and a bigger sum of money endorsement deal from them. So it's kind of a whole bunch of stuff going on, but it's just stuff that we did not see coming from Kawhi or the Spurs and did not foresee this being like a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And the Spurs kind of have maintained this perfect franchise tag that they've been living with through their whole the past at least 20 years, where Popovich runs this tight ship and all the players are happy. They all love the reduced minutes and the reduced playing time just to produce these great team victories. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Jordan Brand thing, I was actually thinking about this a while ago, and I'm actually happy I'm here to talk about this. Can you think of a Jordan Brand athlete who has their own Jordan shoe that's actually successful, obviously, besides Jordan, in the shoe market?
No. Like, really, when you think about it, there's not no. That's generally just kind of, you know, people don't really, you know, it's like with the Kyrie or the Kevin Durant, they kind of, like, become their own, like, their own shoe line outside of Nike. It's like, oh, Nike just has this stockpile of guys. With Jordan, it kind of all goes back to Jordan. Maybe it's the name, but it's like exactly. It's hard to escape that. It's hard to be that, entity on your own.
People like Russell Westbrook just got his first signature shoe. Mm-hmm. And Melo had his line of shoes for a while, which actually just got discontinued. So I don't really understand what specifically Kawhi wants from Jordan, because I don't think that should be the angle. The shoe game isn't something that I think he's marketable in. I think maybe the salary and the contract he's getting paid in is something that could be argued with. But I don't think the shoe is really something that he can really market off of.
No, yeah, I'm looking at the numbers right here. Like, he's up until now, he's been making less than $500,000 a year with the current Jordan deal. And off the bat, I mean, that's a large sum of money. But compared to the other guys, just mediocre players out there, not mediocre, but players with less of a track record and less accomplishments than Leonard, that's a drop in the bucket. It's multi, tens of millions of dollars these guys are making. And looks like extension, they were looking at a 4-year $20 million extension, and that kind of broke down. So yeah, like, the money seems like it's there, but I guess he's more on the the application side of it and wanting the shoe to be like some type of them to market. I don't know, it's just like he may be the best player that Jordan Brand reps, but I could 100% see like Russell Westbrook's shoe outselling him, like, without a doubt.
Yeah, and definitely, and as we were talking about prior to this, it's really hard to differentiate and to separate the person from the athlete sometimes, but I think it's best shown in kind of the shoe marketability, whereas you actually don't have to be the best player. I mean, obviously you need stats and all that, but a lot of the shoe marketability has a lot to do with your off-court persona, mm-hmm. Which I don't think Kawhi has to really put him to that next level of shoe superstardom, like a Paul George, who's not a top 10 player in the league, I wouldn't say, mm-hmm. but still has that signature shoe that people are buying and other players are wearing as well.
Right. And yeah, that he's become one of the most popular shoes out there, him and Kyrie, as far as the comfortableness and shoes that get out there and do the job. You know, it's not just a fashion item. So that's another aspect of, like, you know, seeing other guys wear your shoe is a really cool, probably, like, you know, satisfying thing to experience. But yeah, I mean, it's guys like Damian Lillard, you know, somebody that's made what, two, maybe three All-Star games, maybe a third team All-NBA here or there, and, you know, minimal success in the playoffs, hadn't really been past the second round. You know, nothing really in a market in Portland that's not traditionally, you know, something that, you know, breeds, you know, superstars and somebody that's a media favorite. But he's got one of the more successful shoes, and it looks good. It you know, players like wearing it, but him and himself, like, a lot of people relate to him. People that aren't even Blazers fans relate to him and relate to his, you know, persona and his confidence and his, you know, just his, the way he carries himself, his hip hop, and whether you like it or not, like, his, you know, confidence to be able to be into that market and to appeal to people, even outside of basketball. And that's kind of what I think Kawhi is lacking. And I can understand wanting the money and being like, I deserve this money, and you probably do. But you really, in my opinion, you do have to bring something to the table as far as your, as an athlete and as an individual brand. Because while this is Jordan and Jordan branded, it's a lot about individually your brand and how you kind of, you know, spark it. So.
Exactly. And it is also worth noting that Adidas is kind of a different beast,
right?
Because they've had such terrible contracts in the past with Derrick Rose. John Wall obviously failed, and they've been waiting for kind of someone to really push up their shoe marketability. And Dame Lillard looks like he's doing a great job at that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right. That's a good point, because they've kind of thrown their money behind Lillard, and that in itself is enough sometimes to really get there. Because, you know, if they're trying to get off the ground and do certain things, you know, kind of regain their foothold or regain a grasp on some, you know, NBA athletes like that, then, you know, they're, the money makes that happen. So Jordan Brand may not be willing to throw that behind Kawhi. But that kind of leads us into, I mean, because the whole Kawhi thing has been kind of an underlying theme to the season. He's played like 9 games, I believe. They've been successful without him. You know, that's another thing where, you know, you wonder if there's people in Kawhi's ear wanting to kind of grow his star, grow his brand, because you kind of do get this lumped in thing with the Spurs, and how it's like, oh, it's Popovich, it's not the players. He can do this with anybody. Oh, Kawhi's out, they're still the 3 seed in the playoffs. They don't really need superstars there. They can consistently win and advance in the playoffs without, you know, a top 10 player and stuff like that. Or just one top 10, you know, one top 20 player or something like that. So I think that goes into it as well, and his frustration, because regardless of his demeanor, you know, players want to feel like they're, you know, wanted or needed, I guess, and people in general. So I think that has something to do with it too, and how they're is successful without him, because I'm sure that bothers him probably.
Yeah. And I think he does have that. I can see how it bothers him, but I also see he doesn't really have that star mentality just like innately into him. Obviously players want to be wanted and this and that, but he doesn't come across as that kind of guy, which makes this all ever more shocking.
Right. That's the great point. Like, I agree with you. He never has come across like that. Maybe this is, that's why I was kind of in the camp of, maybe it's somebody that's in his ear. Maybe it's a new manager. Maybe it's a new advisor. Maybe it's, you know, a new agent, whatever. I don't know all the backstory to that, but maybe there's someone that's feeding him. We've seen it on reality shows and TV, you know, play shows like Ballers and stuff, you know, dumb shows like that, where it's like some big shot advisor comes in and tells this player he's, you know, needs to be doing this, and starts flooding his mind with things that he never really considered before this. He was just playing the game and being successful and being himself. And so now he starts getting into this stuff that he doesn't care about as much, and it could affect his play. So it's something to watch, and we'll see. You know, San Antonio up until now was the 3 seed, right behind the 2 front runners in Houston and Golden State. They kind of, everybody just assumed that was what they were going to do. They're going to be home court advantage, probably win in the first round, struggle after that. But now they're falling down to 5th currently. You know, it's a fluid situation in the West night to night, with, you know, everybody being separated by like a half a game or a game at most. But now they've dropped down to 5th. You know, New Orleans and Portland, 2 teams that but before the season started, some people didn't even have him in the playoffs, are now 3-4 respectively, Portland and New Orleans. So this is creating a whole lot of even more stuff. You know, is San Antonio going to miss the playoffs? Are they going to sneak into the lottery and, you know, try to play their magic with and get a player in the draft? It's pretty interesting. I could definitely see them, you know, trying to sneak down to the bottom and get a better pick.
I could see that from any other team, but that just doesn't seem like the Popovich way to me. I think he always wants to compete and kind of continue his stretch. I think it would definitely put a bad look on his coaching credibility.
Right, and you're right. That's not him. I mean, they did start this with Tim Duncan, and that was a tank. You know, when they held out David Robinson and all that. But it is, it's not likely. It's kind of just like NBA conspiracy theory of mine. But you know, the way they did it, being consistently the top three seed all season long, and then just kind of it could be seen if they were to drop down to 7 or 8 or even to 9, which I think is too far for them to drop. But if they were to drop down there, it wouldn't be seen as them necessarily tanking. It would be seen as, oh, you know, the loss of Kawhi just caught up to them. You know, Popovich still did an amazing job with these guys. No all-stars on the team besides, you know, besides Kawhi, and he didn't play. Like, all that. It could be molded to where it wouldn't tarnish. But like I said, it's still kind of just a conspiracy theory.
And not a bad one.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting if San Antonio got into the top 10 through the lottery. That'd be, I mean, I don't know if you can, how high you can get when you drop down to like 8 or 9, when you drop down to 9 or 10, but I know there's it'd be interesting enough for them to be in the top 10 in the lottery.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, you know, a team that's falling, a team that's trending downwards, we'll move to some teams that are trending up. And like I mentioned earlier, Portland and New Orleans, you know, Lillard showed off the other night, against the I think it was the Nets, I believe, or somebody like that, that they who he hit last night. It was like 4 straight 3-pointers, brought him back.
Hey, that was Lakers. All Lakers.
I totally blanked on the team in the moment. But, yeah, so he a hot Lakers team who's, you know, 11th in the West right now and won a lot of games in a row. And then New Orleans, who with the loss of Boogie, has continued to stay consistent. And Drew Holiday, like you said earlier, is balling out right now and really playing above what people thought he was going to play. And they're getting a lot of contributions out of these role players and whatnot. And it's they've dethroned Minnesota since they lost Jimmy Butler. And Oklahoma City is still gone up and down. They haven't been able to jump into that 3-4 range recently. And Denver's still kind of hanging down there at the bottom. But a really crazy race out there right now.
Yeah, and specifically, I want to touch on the Pelicans for a second here. Mm-hmm. This rise to the 4 spot has actually made me very, very happy, because the big knock on Davis was that he could never really lead a team. Mm-hmm. Everyone's saying, oh, he's the next best player in the NBA. He's this and that. And we're all just waiting for him to kind of be that guy. And now he's finally, obviously, he just won Player of the Month this past month. And he's really starting to actually come into his own as a not only just an individual player, but cultivating wins as a team too, which is important.
Right, because that has been a knock. I mean, I talked to Trey Daubert last, you know, co-founder of Vendetta last week about Davis, and he was of the impression of, you know, he shouldn't be getting this MVP discussion without having ever won a playoff game and all that. But this is kind of validation of his star and validation of his, you know, potential and likelihood of being an MVP one day. And it's one of those things where it's really happy for me too, because I loved him and Boogie together. They obviously enjoyed playing together. I think it's even a better chance now that Boogie resigns there, probably getting him at a slight discount, which is nothing. It's going to help them because they're terrible financial shape. And the way they're playing now, I'd love to see them in the playoffs. Like, I think they could beat a team in the first round, especially if they were to get like a 3 or 4 seed. They were to maintain that, I could definitely see them beating a Denver or a Minnesota, you know, depending on Jimmy Butler's health. So, you know, I love it. I love watching Davis play. I mean, just give me more games of Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
And I'm okay.
And even on the flip side of that, now talking about the Blazers, the league has obviously transitioned to a very, very guard dominant kind of league, which makes it hard for players like Davis to really be as great as he actually could be and get the recognition and kind of contribute to team wins. And now we're seeing that in Portland with, I think, in my opinion, I mean, obviously the hottest backcourt in basketball right now of McCollum and Lillard.
Yeah.
I think this also boosts McCollum's stock as he approaches free agency in the coming years, as well as makes Lillard debatably a top five point guard. I think he's probably my third best point guard right now.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Lillard guy. I was a fan of his rookie season. Like, I really like his the way he plays, and you know, he's kind of got the
do it. And who he is as a person, his yeah. attitude, the whole mm-hmm. Oakland state. I think people right. really respond.
He was a stayed in college a couple extra. Small college, rose through the ranks. Like, it wasn't much talked about before the draft. I remember watching some tape on him and was just like, this guy, he can play coming out of nowhere, Weber State. And, see, that's the thing too. Like, CJ McCollum was Lehigh. I know he's a top 10. I mean, these guys were both top 10 picks, but, that's a testament to your scouting and a testament to the belief you have in your scouting and your prospect evaluation to take in the top 10 two players from schools that most people don't even know. Most people can't tell you where those two schools are. I don't even know where Lehigh is off the top of my head. So like those two, their two best players come from schools like that. Like that right there is a testament to that organization and the way, way they draft. So.
And additionally, the talent they saw in Nurkic from his days in Denver is very, very important.
Right. They've made some questionable decisions with the way they've re-signed players in the past. I mean, the Evan Turner deal is terrible. The Myers Leonard extension after I think it was last season was short-sighted. They signed Mo Harkless to a lot of money and he doesn't really play much anymore. So there's been some questionable decisions there, but and a lot of people doubted the Zach Collins pick. He started to play better recently and show some flashes, but yet to be seen. But I think you have to, it's one of those things that, you're not going to be 100% on your personnel moves, and to be able to get what you've gotten out of two franchise level players and Lillard and McCollum, I mean, that's pretty much all you can hope for. And then Nurkic, yeah, obviously he's still on a rookie deal. So, your best center. So,
exactly.
Right. Right. But that's a fun team. I tell you what, I wasn't a believer before the season started. I was one of those, I didn't think Portland had it in them. Definitely didn't think New Orleans did when they lost Boogie. But a team that, this is something I wanted to ask your opinion on. Being a Boston fan, guy who, Tibbs used to be on the bench there with Doc Rivers. He's since, moved on to the Bulls and now the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's your take on him? Because I've recently just grown tired of the way, obviously the results are there. He's a winner. He's won everywhere he's been. But I don't know. Is it something that can be sustainable? I mean, he runs his players to me. I don't want to be a hot take machine. But it seems like he runs his players into the ground to me. He doesn't play with his rotations at all. It's usually like a six or usually a 7 to 8 man rotation. You've got young guys on the bench. He reluctant to play Tyus Jones more minutes sometimes, reluctant to play him with weird lineups, always got to have two bigs on the floor. What's your take on him as being, obviously I'm sure you were a fan of him back in the day.
Yeah. And he did obviously a great job as our defensive coordinator.
Basically a defense coordinator
for that 08 Celtics team. And a big part of that Celtics team was having Perkins and Garnett kind of man the middle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't think he's really transitioned into this small ball era. Obviously he has Taj Gibson who can stretch out a little bit more, and which Garnett did actually do towards the middle and the later part of his career. But he isn't adapting really to the small ball era where you can run these smaller lineups and potentially have someone like Jamal Crawford playing the three, and you could have Gibson playing the five if you want to go really small kind of, but he's really reluctant to do that, which isn't really conducive to beating these 3-point shooting teams in the West, like the Warriors especially.
Right. No. Yeah. And you make great points there. Like he's got these budding superstars, especially in Karl-Anthony Towns. And then, Jimmy Butler is a guy who he's kind of a known commodity and is still improving even. And then, Andrew Wiggins is kind of, I guess you could say he's been slightly disappointing, but he's still, kind of on that all-star level cusp of a scorer. He had some young talent. He refused to play Shabazz Muhammad. He doesn't play Justin Patton, who's a young big guy who can play some minutes. Chooses to play Cole Aldrich more than that. I don't know. It's just something that I've kind of grown tired of, because I like the Bulls. I like the Wolves core, and I'm really a big Karl Anthony Towns fan. I don't know. It's not a sustainable thing to me in today's NBA and the way everybody runs so much. I think they're just going to get gassed in the playoffs. If they're able to stay in that top eight, I definitely think they're a first round exit.
Exactly.
I just don't think that, you know.
And it's really upsetting, because they are this young, and they should be this young, fast paced team, but they're just burning themselves out. And I don't know, to my point, I would like to see Wiggins potentially play like bigger in the lineup. If you have to have lineups with him, maybe playing the three or four, Towns playing the five, and Crawford kind of mixed in there too, who still at age 40 is, or 38, however old he is still shooting incredibly well.
I agree. I'd like to see Wiggins kind of, and maybe that would help him in his game. And it may be, because I mean, he has people viewed him as going to be, you know, as an elite, you know, perimeter defender coming to the league. They were like, oh, he's going to translate. He's going to be able to perform. He hasn't been that. He's been inconsistent and not shown much defensively. Maybe if you're able to use him in different lineups, you know, play him at even a stretch four at times, but definitely like a three, and to where he's in different positions, different schemes, you know, maybe he's able to kind of revitalize that skill that he has. And obviously, I mean, obviously he's an athlete, but you know, he's long, he can move. So I think you just need to play around with some stuff there. And they're a team that, you know, it's hard to, we see it sometimes, not a lot, but coaches get fired after playoff appearances. And I really would personally, selfishly, I'd love for them to get rid of Tibbs and bring in maybe a younger guy, or a guy from college, or, you know, an innovative guy from college, or, you know, maybe an assistant on some bench in the NBA. There's some guys out there that are, you know, maybe, I hate to say David Fizdale, that's just a name off the top of my head. I don't even know if that'd be a fit. That's just me blurting it out. But somebody that can relate to those guys.
I think from a defensive standpoint, that would be a pretty good fit. Mm-hmm. I think that he has a lot of tools there. I think he's a really smart coach, actually. I think he definitely had a bad rep in Memphis, unfortunately, and you would know all about that. But
it was a short-sighted decision, and why there was blame on both sides. Fizdale is the real deal, and he's going to be a successful coach. He's going to get another job. It'll probably be at a better place than Memphis for the long term. And, you know, it's one of those things that it shouldn't have gotten to the point that it was at. But he's going to get another chance, and that would be an interesting spot. I mean, he's going to be thrown around for every opening this offseason. But, I mean, he's still getting paid by Memphis, so there's no rush from him. But
oh, really?
I believe he is. I mean, with the way he was, I'm sure he's still – you know, there's some type of, guarantee in his contract. I'm sure he's got either this year's salary or next. I mean, every coach has one of those. Or if you fire him there. Did you hear the other day that, like, Sean Miller, if he would have gotten fired, he makes more money than if he was just sort of, like, if he was fired with calls, he gets more money in a buyout than if he was fired without calls, which is crazy.
The NCAA is a whole other different beast that I can't tackle in that regard.
I was thinking about trying to do a podcast. I have an interesting view of it. I was thinking about doing a podcast around all those, just allegations, because it's not any, you know, factual stuff, but it's just not even fun to go down that rabbit hole, because you just get into obvious, discussions and you know, people. It's almost like a politics discussion where it's just not fun after a while.
It's beyond basketball. Yeah. It becomes a question of morality, of who should be paid.
That's when you get into people's personal biases, and it just, you know, it's not always the best road to go down. But I did want to talk a little bit about some college basketball going into conference championship weekend. Just going through the East real quick, I wanted to see if you had any comments about, you know, anybody at the top there, but, you know, with Philadelphia and how they've kind of been playing a lot better recently, and kind of been viewed as a team that probably is going to solidify that five or six seed when it's all said and done, and looks to be somebody you definitely don't want to play in the first round.
I'm very, very hopeful that the Cavs and Sixers will play each other first round if it will go the way it is now, because I think that or a Celtics Sixers first round would be a incredible first round matchup. All the other matchups to me are a little kind of flaky. Yeah. The Raptors Bucks is that, I think that was actually a matchup that was, no, that wasn't last year, but the Raptors, it's like,
I think it was
Raptors
last year,
Bucks, Raptors. Yeah. or Heat, Pacers. There's not a lot of exciting teams really in the East, just because the lack of superstars. Really, I mean, there's and I wouldn't. I think I love Lowry and DeRozan, but I wouldn't put them as national superstars really. But it's really just kind of the Celtics and the Cavs, and then the Sixers, who are just a fun team. And
they're the media favorite. Everybody wants to watch them play. They're fun to watch. They're interesting. They've somewhat got the low post game that a lot of teams don't have anymore, but also with this crazy freak that's 6'10" that can run, you know, dribble it from coast to coast faster than anybody else on the court. It's almost like a LeBron. They got their own LeBron in a way. But I think, obviously for you, you probably wouldn't want to, as a Boston fan, wouldn't want to see him in the first round, but that would be an amazing series.
Neither would I like to see the Heat. The only team I would be content seeing in the first round is the Pacers, but that's probably not.
But let's see. I mean, it'll be fun. I think it's going to be – if it was Boston Sixers, that would be must-watch TV, or Cavs Sixers must-watch TV.
I hope it comes down to that, definitely.
Yeah, the way it's lined up right now, it's Cavs Sixers. So we'll hold out hope for that. Nothing much else of note besides all the tankers. You know, my Grizzlies actually are – firmly in that number one spot right now. So
who as we transition to college basketball, and anyone you particularly have your eye on?
Yeah. From a personal like fan perspective, and I was actually talking to a buddy of mine this morning about this. If we were to get the number one pick or even the number two or three pick, I think this guy would be available, obviously number one, but otherwise unavailable. I think from what the Grizzlies want to do, I think Doncic would be the pick. I'm a big Porter guy, but I think our front office is going to have concerns about his injury history, which is warranted. But I think Doncic, coupled with if you have a healthy Gasol and Conley next year, and you know, you're able to have the role players that you want that are going to come out of this season be actual role players instead of starters, I think it's an interesting combo to have another ball handler with the ability. I think he's going to come in with the ability to contribute right away at a different level than a lot of players out there. And I think with you having Gasol, as your best player, and the international aspect there, and they played against each other before, I think he would enjoy playing with him. I really do. Well, so I think it would be fun.
I've watched a lot of Doncic tape, and I think he's definitely. From these tapes, he looks awesome. He looks incredible, and he did incredibly well in the FIBA tournament or the Euro basketball tournament this past summer. Something interesting that I've always kind of noticed it was when Porzingis got drafted out of the same league. He averaged 11 and what was it? I think it was something around like 11 and 4 or 5, kind of in that range. When Dragan Bender was drafted out of a similar league or that league, he averaged maybe like 6 and 5. And
he barely played.
Barely played, exactly. Doncic averages a lot higher than that. I think he averages at least 18 points.
I'm gonna Google it real quick while you're talking, but yeah, no, I know where you're going with this. It's basically if we want to take a step back and look at international prospects in general and how, you know, how they kind of become a darling in a way of like, we don't have much film on them. They don't have the stats but then it'll all be blamed on the situation. It'll be like, oh, they're 18 years old. They're 19 years old. They're playing with a bunch of grown men over there. It's different than college. And the same way, like with Porzingis and Bender, that's the story with them. It was like the talent is there. And especially with Porzingis, it's come to fruition, but there's a lot of unknown still. And this is the first time I think that I can remember in my, you know, time of following the NBA that you have a player that, at that age, at that 18 to 19 year old age, he's this much of a contributor. He's the best player in the league. You don't see that production of these players at the top. Like, is this the outlier like they say he is? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to deny the results there. I mean, you know, 15 a game, you know, averaging like, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. So,
people have made comparisons to, of him to Drazen Petrovic. Mm-hmm. Who obviously everyone knows as this iconic Czechoslovakian shooter and player, who unfortunately passed away too soon I think Doncic could really, really be that guy. I mean, I think I read somewhere his if you convert his minutes to per 48, he averages like 24 a game. And this is an 18-year-old kid who played in the same league as Porzingis, and who's just blowing him out of the water statistically. Yeah. So I think it's actually a very safe bet.
Yeah, and I just had the per 36.
As far as European players.
My bad, what was that last part?
The very safe bet is as far as European players.
Yeah, go. I agree. And I just saw his per 36 on Basketball Reference right here, and it's 22 a game, 22 and a half a game. It's right. And, you know, it's seven assists and seven rebounds. So that's, yeah, they're translating well. And I think, I don't know, I'm excited to see him play because I do think it's going to be different than the normal, you know, European star that we see come over. And I think, you know, as a Grizzlies fan, like for some, like Ayton, who I think is probably the most, I would say, highest upside, maybe most talented player in the draft. And it probably will eventually, you know, he's going to be probably the, you know, most looked at number one pick. And when it's all said and done, or when we get to the actual, you know, pre-draft stuff. But the way he fits with Memphis and everything in that team, I guess you could say the future value of maybe trading him or, you know, trading Gasol is there. But I think if you're in a market like Memphis to draft a player like this, that's not going to be, you know, dependent on 2 or 3 years of ramp to runway to improve, I think is your best bet. If you want to get the most in a position of Memphis, you want to get the most out of your two stars in their remaining couple of years of prime, I think Doncic is the way. And I think he'll be there at 2 or 3 too, or 2 or 3 as well, if you don't happen to secure the top spot. So I think it is a good shot at getting him. So, yeah,
definitely. But now I guess kind of going into college basketball like you wanted to with the tournament.
Yeah, no, I mean it's I've heard a couple writers talking that, you know, everybody hypes up the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, the first 2 days where all those games are played. From a gambling perspective, you know, I'm going to be there in Vegas next Thursday and Friday. I'm super pumped about that. But a lot of people say they prefer this weekend, and how, you know, like, if you want to make money from a gambling perspective, you know more about the teams and you know they've played each other multiple times throughout the season. And it's a lot of like rivalries getting, a third try at it this season. You know, maybe you get a Duke Carolina three, the number three, or, you know, like, you know, what was it? Somebody beat Penn State beat Ohio State for a third time last week. It was crazy. You know, they're not barely a tournament team, and Ohio State's, you know, probably a top five seed, not a top five seed, but a five or above seed. And, you know, it's those are things that conference tournament weekend kind of gets overlooked a little bit. So I'm super pumped. SEC tournament especially. I think there's a lot of teams that are, you know, a lot to learn about those teams that are on the bubble.
Well, and if, let's say, Kentucky loses early on, you can't put Kentucky higher than 11. No, right?
That would be – I would be so mad if I was a six seed and I had to play Kentucky in the first round.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're right. No, I think right now I believe they're projected as like a five seed with upside, and you know they've got a 2-round bye in the SEC tournament. They'll probably go to the championship game at least if they win that first one. And I think in the end they're probably going to top out at like a best case probably a three.
Yeah, that's
If they win the tournament, yeah, if they win the SEC. So I would still put my money on them as far as a sleeper goes.
Perfect. Championship?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, no, as far as an odds perspective, I think if they go into the tournament as like a four seed or a five seed, I would really like to look at that, how that plays out, how the bracket lays out to see, you know, them as a sleeper. Because they did this a couple years ago when they had a mediocre team with the Harrison twins. I think it was the second or the first year of the Harrison twins. They, you know, they made almost, I think it was a Final Four run or Elite Eight run, and they were like an eight seed. So
that,
I think
that could be your UConn one, I believe.
Yeah. That was that year. So I think there's some shades of something like that. I mean, with this team, because they have like 3 to 4 first round picks on their starting lineup, so like it could happen, it could click.
who do you see as your very, very early on favorite though
for the tournament in general? I mean, Virginia I think is going to be a favorite, and Michigan State probably. Those teams, you know, they're always the top one or two seeds. You know, Virginia's pretty boring, but if I had to pick a team, I really like Michigan, and you know they always do this at the conference tournament time. They always look like one of the best teams in the league. But if I had to pick somebody besides them, I think Texas Tech, I saw them a couple of games recently. They were, you know, top 10 team for the, you know, a couple of weeks ago. They lost a couple of games late. But I think they're a team that they've been playing in the Big 12, which I think is the best league, and one of the, you know, top one or two league in college basketball. And I think they can make a run. That's a team that I kind of had seen play a couple times, saw them lose a couple tough games, but they're loaded with athletes, man. They've really got some players. And they're not all one and done type players either. They're like juniors. They've got a good mix of guys that know been there and done that. So
I could see that. I'm pretty high actually on West Virginia right now. Yeah. I think the big thing that wins these tournaments is is defense and free throws, obviously that we've seen. And I think Javon Carter has that it factor to really carry that team. I'm actually a little hesitant about Virginia, though, just on the premise that they're not that kind of team in my mind that wins these kind of champs. Like they'll play great. I think they're very well coached, disciplined. They can shoot it well. They don't give up a lot of points, but they're just not that team that you think could win at all. They just don't have that factor. They're not that team until they win one, and then they're kind of in
right. You know, they haven't. And you know they're not even, you know, they need to win the ACC tournament to really be seen as dominant. A lot of people won't believe in them if they don't win the ACC. So they've got their work cut out for them. They're a team that I think is probably a lock to be an Elite Eight team. I don't think they're a team that's going to lose a second round game or anything like that. I think they're kind of upset proof in a way. But you know, unlike a Kansas like we've seen in the past, or maybe even a Duke. But they're going to play a team towards once they start playing a two or a three seed in their own region. I think that's when you're going to see, are you for real or are you just a very well coached system team? Did you have anybody that kind of outside the top 25 or maybe even a mid major that's pretty consistent, like a, you know, in the mold of a Gonzaga or anybody like that that you had your eye on or anybody you're following?
Who have I been seeing? Again, like I think the tournament really came to these big teams, and I think Gonzaga's all kind of fake. I don't think they're a team that can really compete, just because they don't really play anyone all year until it gets to the Elite Eight, and they have all these players who are great in the WCC, the West Coast Conference, and then when push comes to shove,
right? That exactly, and they had their chance last year, or 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was last year. To win and they lost out on that. But it was a good, they had a good squad last year. It was fun to watch. I don't, as far as that, I'm just interested to see the kind of the bubble squads. There's some like Oklahoma State's team that's beat Kansas already like twice this year. You know, they've had like five top 10 wins or something like that. And they're still in the bubble. It's crazy to see a team that's like, you know, they're not very many games over 500, but the quality of their wins are so high. And then you have other squads that are, you know, they've only lost like eight games this season, but have beaten like nobody. So,
is Oklahoma even going to make are the Sooners going to make the tournament?
Yeah, no, I was talking about Oklahoma State, but yeah, Oklahoma in general, I don't think they are. They're like, what, 18 and 13 or 18 and 12, something like that. Like,
and they were a top 10 team
They have bottomed out. Like, The Trae Young hype really took a toll on that whole squad. The team around him is just not good. And I think teams started to focus on Trae and like really throw all their. He's a small guy. You start to throw athletic bodies in the Big 12 at him, like he's not going to be able to put up the numbers like he was. He still might win Player of the Year, but it'll be crazy to see them drop all the way out. I'd like for them. Because, I mean, I want to see Trae Young in the tournament, to be honest, because I think that's a player that could turn it back on, or at least against some teams that haven't played against him, you know, before. Maybe they can make a run. So I'd like to see them put Oklahoma in the play-in game on Tuesday. You know how they do that with, like last year or 2 years ago, it was like Vanderbilt and somebody. Like, I'd like to see them in that game against another bubble team to earn their way in to be like an 11th seed or a 10th seed and then see what could happen.
I also think the committee will have a hard time putting a star like Trae Young out of the tournament, just for branding and marketability.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Look, I mean, there's going to be three or, you know, four or five head scratchers at the end of this. And did you see that? Like, I used to watch the bracket reveal every year religiously because I loved it. But then it got to a point where it was like an hour and a half of TV that could have been 5 minutes. And then you talk about it after that for an hour and a half. Did you see that they're going to announce CBS or the Turner Sports or whatever? It's Turner Sports this year. They're going to announce all of the teams first and then tell you what bracket and seed they are.
Well, yeah, I don't see what that gains because
What are you doing?
Like, I can see.
No one's ever done that.
My head can't wrap around physically where they're going to be, like who's playing who.
No. What? It's like they're trying to just change. I don't know. It's like they're. People complain about it, and instead of making the sensible decision and announcing the bracket, you know, if the show starts at 6 Eastern, announce it at 6:10.
Yeah.
And then talk about it and then go into different aspects or do your predictions or whatever. Instead of doing the obvious thing, they're going to completely change it and just go with – I don't even – maybe it works. I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous.
They're probably trying to prolong the whole show.
Right. Well, it's for advertisements and everybody, commercials and whatnot. Like, it's just, I'd like to see them, you know, just do it a little differently or whatever. Yeah. But
they're doing it just so they get the money and the players don't.
Like, like we said, it's an evil system.
Exactly.
You could you know tire yourself all night talking about that. But yeah. So it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm pumped to see some of the games, see some of the teams, see if Michael Porter actually plays. I think the rumor is he may play in the SEC tournament, and that's another team. Now that I think about it, if you know they're, I would say, on the good side of the bubble to where if they win a game in the SEC tournament, they're probably good to go. But if you bring a top five draft pick into the mix out of nowhere, dude, depending on how that bracket falls, that could be a sleeping giant.
Especially because teams have no scouting on him.
Right. I mean, you have no – he's a wild card, and he's kind of – he's the type of player that while he still may take some time to adjust to the NBA, he would have been crushing college basketball this year. He would have probably, you know, scored 15, 20 points a game and, you know, had, you know, shooting from everywhere. Like, he would have been successful. So I'm really – if I was his business manager or whatever, I would tell him don't play. It's not worth it. But from a fan's perspective, bring it on.
It's so, awful.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you jumping on, Nate. It's good to get another one in the books. Yeah. What's going on with Keep It Up to Yourself? Is it a normal schedule this week? Where can they find it?
Normal schedule. We just released our 10th episode last night. Mm-hmm. We recorded last night, just released today, episode 10 of Keep It to Yourself. Mm-hmm. We go over a bunch of stuff at the Oscars.
When you listen to that,
kind of other big stories going on in sports, the NFL, the draft combine, and then we'll be going on again, releasing episode on Friday, weather permitting. Actually, we're all I'm meeting up with some of my co-hosts in New York City. I'm actually going to the I'm planning on going to the ACC tournament this really? Week, weather permitting. But yeah, so hopefully I'll get to see some of that. But definitely, yeah, tune in to Keep It to Yourself Tuesdays and Fridays. They'll be posted on Vendetta Sports Media, of course. Give them a like on Facebook and a follow on Twitter at @media_Vendetta.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I have a buddy that's going to be in New York. He's going to try to go to a game or two at the tournament. So have fun up there. Be safe. I know it's a crazy weather. Trey was out of power all last week. So be careful with that. Check it out. Check out Keep It to Yourself. They got a really fun podcast there. Make sure you listen and subscribe on all the platforms. And obviously here with Clear Path, you know where to find us, VendettaSportsMedia.com. We're on iTunes, working out some issues with the posting last week. I've kind of changed the hosting site, but you can find us on Twitter at ClearPathNBA. I'm Jacob McCormick _. And you can follow our stuff there. A lot of NBA NFL combine coverage on the website. And other than that, thanks again, Nate.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jake.
Yep. And we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me high. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me high. Pull up to the spot, high as ever, niggas know the code. Out in London, got my dogs with me. Bitches love us cause we keep it realer than most. They love the way I talk. I blend in like I'm from the ends, but I just flown in from New York. What's the word? Business is jumping. Milk hit my line, phase bring the haze, step is on the way.
True.
Jammin' hit my line, bring Blakey for the energy. I'm everywhere like surround sound. You niggas can never get rid of me. What the fuck they thought, dog? I been glowing. Them cash is now getting passports. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. From dollars to pounds, pounds to euros, euros to yen. Been keeping it thorough. We flying again, I land in Kyoto. You taking my photo. When I hop out the Benz, we flying again. On my way to the end. Just check out the logo, we been doing this. From Lille to Paris, Barcelona, Girona, Berlin out to Belgium. I almost missed my flight at Copenhagen. I was drunk and high, but I made it. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. I just copped a flight. Soon as I touch down in your city, I'ma need that green and keep me hot. I'ma need that green and keep me hot.